The text for our sermon this morning for the first Sunday in Lent is from the Old Testament reading. We're going to contemplate this, the offering of Isaac and God sending the lamb stuck in the thicket, keeping in mind also the gospel reading of Jesus being sent into the wilderness to be tempted, to be tested, and this verse in particular from Genesis 22, Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey with two of his young men with him, his son Isaac. This part in particular. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come to you again." Verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. God's grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Abraham took the wood of the offering and put it on his son. We contemplate suffering today, and we can see in our readings this picture of the wood with Isaac, as he's carrying something that he knows is, well, when you carry wood for a sacrifice, it means pain, it means suffering, it means the death of the sacrifice, and Isaac knows this. So today I want to invite you to consider yourself as Isaac, carrying the wood in your life, your suffering, and seeing this all fulfilled in Jesus, who carries the wood of the cross to his sacrifice, where he offers himself to death on your behalf. To remind you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, that you can carry whatever wood, whatever heavy weight your heavenly Father asks you to carry in life, that as you trust him, looking to Jesus, you will be able to endure through anything. Suffering. It is God-pleasing when it points us to the promises of God and the eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now, to many people, including ourselves, you might say to the whole human race, oftentimes the greatest problem in life is suffering. Suffering physically, suffering emotionally, suffering spiritually. That if you want to convince someone to buy a product, if you want to convince someone to pass legislation, the greatest thing to do to appeal to people in their life is to find out where they're suffering and then to come up with some way to alleviate that suffering. If you vote for me, I'll bring down the cost of groceries. Vote for me, and I will put an end to whatever suffering in your life that you see as an injustice, whatever you see in your life where you say, that's not fair, I don't deserve this. Whatever aspect in life, even maybe over death, we see suffering as one of the greatest problems in life. Part of the problem is our human flesh, our fallen flesh, doesn't like suffering because it reminds us we're not God. There are things in life we cannot control, and suffering exposes that. Everyone knows we don't like suffering, so if I'm truly in control, if I am God, I can put an end to my suffering. Well, when you try and try and that doesn't happen, you realize you're not God. Our fasting during Lent is an intentional practice in suffering. It is a time when we see the example of Jesus, we see the example of Isaac, we see the example of Abraham, and we say, God even uses suffering for our good. That's how good our Heavenly Father is. That if he can use the suffering of Jesus for the greater good of the whole world, indeed, he can use my personal suffering for my good. So today we consider Abraham first in his suffering, God called Abraham to seemingly inflict one of the worst kinds of suffering in this life one can imagine. Abraham didn't vote for this suffering. Abraham also didn't do anything wrong to ask for this suffering in our reading. Sacrifice your son, is what God said. This is a dreadful command, not because it caused so much suffering, but because we can imagine the suffering, the angst that Abraham was going through those few days leading up to this. As God calls him, sacrifice your son. Isaac's name, it means he will laugh. But there wasn't much laughing going on these couple of days. Abraham was steadfast. This was not a time for jokes and giggles. And even though his name means he laughs, I'm sure Isaac didn't laugh either. Isaac, he was a young man. He most likely perfectly understood what was going on. You can see him asking the question. He wasn't a toddler. He wasn't an infant. He wasn't even a boy. Most commentators, we think Isaac was around 20 years old. We many times consider Abraham in this story, and we're doing that this morning, but we're also going to consider Isaac. He will laugh. But to Isaac, you can imagine as he's putting things together, and he even vocalizes it, he says, "Something is not right, Father. Where's the sacrifice?" If I'm putting two and two together, am I the sacrifice? Abraham was tested, of course, but also look how Isaac is being tested by God. This is where I think we can reflect on our own lives and our own suffering. And as I read this text, I'm always reminded, you might even say haunted, by Jesus' words in Matthew 10:37. If you love mother or father, son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy to follow me. Isaac didn't have to be pulled along kicking and screaming by Abraham, his father. Isaac, at the peak of his physical stature, he faithfully followed his father. He didn't rebel. Abraham, too, he was no spring chicken. We think he was at least a few years past 100. He commanded his son Isaac to follow. Isaac didn't answer back, "Oh, you don't know what you're talking about, old man. Here, just be gone. You talk of this sacrificing to this so-called God." No. I mean, think of 20-year-olds today, and there are some wonderful, faithful 20-year-olds, but generally in mind, when you think of a 20-year-old, you think of someone you have to, think of someone you just have to ask to get off the couch. We just hope many times they don't waste their lives. Some even move into their 30s and 40s. Isaac was not such. He's a good example for us, a 20-year-old that many of us should even follow his example. Because Isaac didn't throw a fit. He didn't rebel. He didn't say how unfair. He didn't fight. He obeyed. Isaac carried the wood up the mountain. Not only did he carry the fire for the sacrifice, but then as they get to the point, Isaac allows his father to bind him up, to tie his hands, to nail his hands to the wood. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. Isaac allows himself to be tied to the wood. He was silent as a sheep goes before the slaughter. Both men are being tested. And there's no easy answer for this story. I believe that's part of its purpose. There are a lot of questions we might ask in this text. But isn't it the case that God's word doesn't always explain to us nor answer all the questions we want answered as if we could demand God to make sense of things. Like our suffering in this life, rarely does it make sense. All we know is Abraham did what God commanded. He did this by faith, we are told. And Isaac, too, willingly allowed himself to be bound, to be laid on the fire when he could have easily fought against his old man. How does this make sense? But isn't that precisely what we say when we face such testing or even temptation in our life when we are tested? Why am I suffering so much, God? Why are you tying my hands up? Why do I see the hands of my loved ones being tied up? Why do I see the people I love suffering? God, they don't deserve this. We ask these questions and we are tempted to doubt because we forget the goodness of God. We forget His promises to always be with us, to always use our suffering and our loved ones' suffering for our good. God's word is plain and simple. However, when we come face to face with suffering, it doesn't always seem that way. Abraham certainly could have said, when God came to him and said, "Sacrifice your son," Abraham could have said, "Well, God must be speaking figuratively." But no, Abraham trusted. He believed what God had clearly called him to do. It seems wrong to us, but Abraham knew by faith that it was right to obey God. Abraham did not doubt God in this instance. He was willing to trust God despite the suffering he saw coming. Isaac was willing to trust in the face of suffering. Abraham knew that God would raise his son because he had a promise from very early on that through Isaac would come the Savior. Abraham knew. Did you hear what he said to his servant? He said, "The boy and I, we will go and we will come back to you." Abraham knew that even if he sacrificed his son would be raised from the dead. That is how much Abraham trusted God. Or I guess I should say, this was how good God was in Abraham's eyes. All Abraham had was the promise. But too often we think that we have some reason to be spared from our suffering. We think we are righteous enough. We don't need to be disciplined. We think we don't deserve suffering. That it is God who's in the wrong. It just doesn't look right to us. But we are in this text, we have this Old Testament text on the day when Jesus is led out to the wilderness to be tempted. What did Jesus do to deserve this? Jesus was true man. He went out to the wilderness to be tempted with all the things that you and I face. He was brought out there to be brought low, to hunger, to be left alone. You might think Jesus had nothing to defend himself. He had no food, but Jesus reminds us. He says he has the most important thing. Jesus has the only thing he needs. He said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. But every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus had what you and I have, what Abraham had, what Isaac had, a promise from God. But even further, you and I, on this side of the death and resurrection of Jesus, we have our baptism. But if you think about it, Jesus had a baptism too, where his heavenly Father gave him a promise, "You are my beloved Son." This is all Jesus needed, because there's nothing greater than to have the promises of God, because the promises of God are more sure and certain than any answer you might find for your suffering. We desire things other than God when we're tempted, because sin creates a desire in us for something more than God. We demand proof. Contrast this with Jesus going to the cross. He considered it a joy to endure the cross, the author to Hebrews says, so that you and I would live. Jesus gives up his life willingly. He is the sacrifice. He is the one caught in the bushes, as we see from our Old Testament lesson. Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaac, who carried the wood, the tool of his own death. Jesus bore his cross, even as Abraham did, as Isaac did, as we carry our cross. We trust God when things do not look right. We know that God will keep his promise because we see this in the resurrection of Jesus, that God promised him he would live, and he did. John tells us in his gospel, one of these interesting passages, John tells us that Abraham saw Christ's day, that Abraham saw Jesus. And this is the text that John is telling us where Abraham saw Jesus when he's on the mountain with Isaac and he sees the lamb caught in the thicket. There it is, a gift of the Holy Spirit, that Abraham sees Jesus, sees the sacrificial lamb who will get caught. That Jesus is the one who was perfect. He avoided all sin, even in the face of temptation. Because remember, Abraham doesn't. Abraham falls. Abraham isn't perfect, but he is an example of God's faithfulness to us. We demand justice too much. We demand God to give an answer for all the wrong things we see in our life. And you know what? God does give an answer. God does answer every one of your demands to right the wrongs in this world. When he sends his son Jesus to put an end, to be the end of all suffering and death, Jesus is the answer for all the times you've doubted, all the mysteries in life that don't make sense. We are to look to Jesus because it is there that you cannot doubt. It is there that the very Son of God crucified was raised. That Jesus, he stands up, he quietly goes to the cross bearing your sins. On his back, he receives the reward for doubting God. The Father doesn't hold back his wrath, but he empties it all on his Son, so that you would be spared. Jesus knew the suffering that would come. The physical side of it is only half the pain. There was also the injustice that Jesus knew. He had done nothing wrong. And yet he dies for the sins of the whole world, even people who despise him. You are forgiven all your sins. So as we contemplate this, we remember and come to the conclusion that suffering is not the worst in this life. Suffering is not the worst enemy. Unbelief is. Turning away from God, stopping your prayers, thinking that God hates you. Like Abraham and Isaac, when we see suffering coming, we should not lose heart, but be strengthened all the more. Remember, Isaac carried his wood. We've seen God's faithfulness in our readings today. You have no reason to doubt. So even now, during Lent, we willingly suffer because we know suffering leads to strength, to hope, to endurance, and those do not leave you. We suffer scorn for believing that baptism is something that is a promise that forgives us all of our sins. We suffer scorn for believing that the Lord's Supper is Jesus' body and blood, but these are all just exercises in suffering. We're laughed at for willingly suffering on Sunday morning, coming, waking up, enduring suffering because we know our Savior is here strengthening us. You should also see this in your vocation. Where God has called you, where you are in your life. God asks you to carry wood in your vocation. Children, you might know that you'll suffer when mom and dad ask you to clean your room, or when mom or dad encourage you by telling you to pray and be patient if you don't know what to do with your life, or if you're waiting for a wife or a husband yourself. You are blessed when you obey your parents, even though that would look like suffering. Husbands, God's word says to love your wife as Christ loves the church. Be tender-hearted, even if that wood of carrying that wood of being tender-hearted to your wife is heavy. Wives, you too, it may be painful to your pride to carry the wood of submitting to your husband, but God's word says you will be blessed. Whatever wood you're carrying, whatever mountain you're scaling up, do so faithfully. Be encouraged by Isaac, but most especially be strengthened by your Savior, our Isaac, who invites you to carry that heavy load, even though it appears to be your end, even though the mountain seems impossible, do so faithfully. Isaac carried his wood because he knew that God would carry him through. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, James tells us today. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.